The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. Telephone number 877 Bob Live, 877-262-5484. 83. Let me issue a challenge to you again that I have issued over and over and over again through the years. Get into the Word of God, folks. Get into your Bible. If you're reading books about the Bible, wonderful, and there are so many out there, great authors, old authors, new authors, contemporary authors, great. But do not ever spend more time in reading books about the Bible, biblical principles, biblical theology. Do not ever spend more time in reading books about the Bible or biblical topics than the Bible itself. Don't do that. Remember, it is God's Word, and treat it accordingly. Treat it like it is God's Word. Please understand, the Bible is unique. There is no other book in the history of mankind like the Bible. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Nada. Please understand, it is not just ink on paper. Now, that's what other books are. Some of those books are really, really good. And not just Christian books. There are some wonderful secular books that are entertaining and educational and so on. But the Bible is unique. It has ink on paper, but it's the very breath of God. So, what are you talking about? 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now, you don't have to be a Greek scholar to find out what some of the original Greek words meant. If you don't have a good Strong's Concordance or a Young's Concordance or a Greek-English lexicon, please, please, please get one. I am still partial to the old Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Every single word in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you can look it up and find out what the Hebrew was in the Old Testament or the Greek or the Aramaic in the New Testament. Easy peasy. All right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does that word inspiration mean? What did it mean in the Greek? Breath. The breath of God. Now, New Testament is Greek, Old Testament is Hebrew, but it's the same principle. Do you remember when God created Adam and Eve? When God created Adam, he was all done, finished with the creation. He had eyes, he had ears, he had a nose, he had a mouth, he had hair, he had feet, he had toes, he had fingers, he had an elbow, he had a liver, a kidney, a heart. He had everything a human being could possibly have except life. And the Bible says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, the breath of life. That very same principle is 2 Timothy 3:16 in the New Testament. All scripture is given by the breath of God. Now, this isn't new for most of you, and it's repetitious for a few of you. I try to share this, I don't know, 3 or 4 times a year because it's so important. Let me tell you something that absolutely transformed my reading of the Bible when I understood what 2 Timothy 3:16 really meant. You ready? The Bible is the breath of God. He breathed it out through the human instruments, through the human authors, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Moses and Timothy and Paul and Peter and Matthew, Mark and Luke and John. He used human instruments. But the Bible is the breath of God himself, the living breath of God, just like the breath of God that was put into Adam and he became a living soul. That's why the Bible is a living book. It's a living book. It's alive. It really is alive. Now get this. If I'm correct, and I'm absolutely positive I am, and I'm not positive on a whole lot of things, but on this, I am positive that I'm correct. The Bible is the breath of God. God breathed it out, and it has taken the shape, the form, through the human authors and then translators, it has taken the form of ink on paper, but it is still the breath of God. When you pick up your Bible and open it and read it, you are inhaling. You with me? God exhaled and gave us the Bible. When we read it, we are inhaling the breath of God. Now let that sink in. Now why did I go through all of that? Never, ever pick up your Bible without realizing that God wants to speak to you, and ask God to speak to you personally. God, I'm going to pick up your word, and I understand it's your breath. Breathe into me life from your word. Speak to me through your word. If you will understand that principle, you will never, ever read the Bible the same. Then, take some time to read it as quickly as you can. Most of you know Joy and I are members of Genoa Church in Westerville, and Pastor Scott Leewald challenged the entire congregation to read the entire New Testament in 3 months. That's basically 3 chapters a day. Well, Joy and I read Scripture every night. We have for years and years and years, but it's been a long time since we've read through the New Testament together that quickly. And so since January, we have been following that challenge, and every night we read at least 3 chapters from the New Testament. Now, when you do that, you begin to understand the continuity of God's word. If you read a verse here and a verse there, a chapter here, a half a chapter, you know, you're reading a devotional book, which is fine. And in the devotional book, you have 3 verses to read. Fine, that's great. You'll never understand the context. You'll never understand the continuity. It will bring balance. You'll begin to understand who God really is and who Jesus is. You'll begin to understand that God is love and compassion and mercy and forgiveness. You will also understand God is a God of judgment. And yes, sometimes even anger. Yeah, even in the New Testament. You read through 1 and 2 Corinthians and see what Paul has to say under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What he has to say about sinners and those who reject God's word and evildoers. Check out what God says, even in the New Testament, about what he is going to do to evil doers. You will find that God hates sin. God hates evil. Please, keep your nose in the book. Take time. Don't find time. Take time to get into God's word. Please, please, please. And understand what you are reading. It's not any other book. It's alive.
Today's news, God's word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
I want to challenge you to read your Bible as often, as quickly as you can. Make it a part of your daily life, please, please, please. And once again, it is not just another book. It is not like any other book. It is not. There is no other book that men and women have access to that is truly, actually supernatural. It is. It is supernatural. That's the nature of God's word. It's the Bible, and we take it for granted. I've told this story before, and if you've heard it, please forgive me, but we have new people joining us all the time. One of the most important influences in my life was a guy by the name of Mel Sabaca. Mel Sabaca was the youth pastor of Kent Baptist Temple, which is where Joy and I got married up in Canton, Ohio, back in 1969. Mel was the youth pastor. He was one of the most unique men I have ever known. Rough, tough. You'd swear he ate rusty nails for breakfast, former probation officer. And God got a hold of his heart. He and his wife lost a daughter, very young, little girl. She died. And God used that to get Mel's attention. And Mel gave his heart, soul, life, body, everything to God's service and to God's word. It was Mel Sabaca that taught me to love God's word. He'd get my face and literally scream at me, spitting all over my face. Keep your nose in the book, Bernie. Did you hear me? I never forgot that. And one of the funniest things, he really did this. He had an enormous youth department up in Canton. His youth department, junior high, high school, and current college, young single adults, was bigger, larger than probably 90% of churches in America, just his youth department. Not just hundreds altogether, thousands in all of his youth departments together. But anyway, just a unique individual. And I don't know how often he did this, but I know he took a group of young people to downtown Canton, Ohio. And he had a big 10-gallon cowboy hat. And he would go to a street corner, a busy street corner, and the young people would kind of form a circle around him so people couldn't see exactly what he was doing. He would put a Bible down on the sidewalk at this busy corner, downtown Canton, Ohio, put a Bible down on the sidewalk. And then he would put the big 10-gallon cowboy hat on top of the Bible. So you couldn't see the Bible, you just see the hat. Then he and the young people, whether it was high school kids or college kids, they would start jumping and dancing around and shouting while pointing at the hat. It's alive! It's alive! I tell you, it's alive! You get the picture? Bunch of kids and Sabaka shouting, it's alive, pointing at the hat down on the ground. And, well, you can imagine, a crowd would form. Well, obviously. And when the crowd got large enough, old Sabaka would reach down, pick up the hat, get the Bible, hold it in the air, and say, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Word of God, and I tell you, it's alive, it's alive, it's alive. And then he would street preach. I have no idea whether that would work today or not. I really don't. Today, they would probably lock him in the loony bin. But they had people accept Christ as Savior on the street corner in Canton, Ohio. But he really did believe that the Bible was alive. Oh, he was a strange bird. He was a one of a kind. He's been in heaven now for several years. But he taught thousands of young people to love God's Word. And I'm one of them that never got over it. I never got over my love for God's Word. I hope you don't either. I hope when you come to the end of your life, part of your legacy will be your love for God's Word. I hope you're a successful businessman, businesswoman. I hope you have a great family. I hope you're a great mother, a great father, grandmother, grandfather. I hope you accomplish many, many, many things in this life before you head to heaven. But right at the top of the list, I hope part of your legacy will be you loved the book. You loved the book. Of course, the question is, do you really love God's Word? If not, ask God to give you an insatiable thirst, hunger for God's Word. Ask God to give you a deep, abiding love for His Word. And I believe He will. All right, we got a lot of other things to talk about, but, and that was not planned. I just feel somebody needed that today. We'll be back.